Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 27th of May, 2021. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And it was an absurdly busier than busy week in the digital marketing world. There's stuff to cover. Before we do anything, it's Kim Krausberg's birthday today. And as Kim is definitely one of the founding persons of, like, I don't know, the industry, I think it would be uncool to not mention it and say happy birthday, Kim. We love you.
Big happy birthday. Yeah, she's one of the, well, you know, it's an industry filled with good people. So when I say, like, she's one of the good ones, it's like, okay, you're one of the good ones among a sea of good ones. But she's definitely awesome.
But moreover, think of the impact that Kim's had on not just the industry, but the lives of so many people in the early part of the industry. I think for listeners who don't know Kim, and I don't think she'll be angry at me for describing her like this, but imagine a complete loving, stereotypical hippie Grateful Dead fan who's a brilliant user experience and techno geek and a great SEO. She brought these wonderful values to this early forum, create a site that she had started, which influenced so many people in the SEO industry. And I suggest that it was that attitude and, you know, a lot of her attitude, that sharing, generosity, help each other out, philosophy that sort of formed a bedrock to the very special industry and type of people we have now.
Yeah, that, I don't think so. Anything you said isn't, like, spot on. Like, although it's funny because I think of her so much, like, just, you know, sort of the way I interact with her now. I'm like, oh yeah, right, create a site. I was just like, right.
Well, Here's one for you. You know, a way she influenced your world absolutely directly. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, everyone had to cut their teeth somewhere, right?
Yep.
Bill Slosky cut his teeth as a moderator at Creative Site.
Yep, that's right.
So did Ammon Johns. So Bill Slosky, who I think is, you know, arguably one of the most influential people ever on the practice of search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. He cut his teeth at Create a Site, and you know, he shares information just readily because that's just the kind of person he is.
Maybe that's just the types of people that Kim, you know, attracts to her are people who share well with others.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But again, I suggest that kind of attitude is what made this industry so special. Anyway, yeah. Kim, we love you. Thank
Happy
you
birthday.
So much. So there was tons and 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 tons that went down over the last week. Dave, where do you want to start, man?
Yeah, I don't know. You like dropped a bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, I actually didn't see that story come in. One that we can talk about just really, you know, sort of topically, because I would just say go to the page and read it. Is the coverage over at Search Engine Land that you shared. I'd actually just tweeted it out a little bit before the show as well, but the news from the Google I/O, which we covered pretty well last week, but there was no way for us to cover everything. But over at Search Not Engine Land, they covered some parts we didn't cover. It was funny, I read it and I'm like, well, they missed a bunch of parts. And I'm like, right, but they caught a bunch of parts I didn't already talk about or know about. So it's a great piece. It's sort of like Cliff Notes. Or Cole's notes, I guess, depending on which side of the 49th you're on. You know, sort of what happened.
Well, here's Here's a piece of tech note that's worth thinking about, especially if you're an SEO trying to see how your website might perform under the harshest of Google conditions. Google rendered your site in its version of Chrome, right? And that's how it figures out what's on your page and what your page is worth, and you know all this. Apparently, Chrome is the kernel for like pretty much every browser out there. Microsoft used to have Internet Explorer, but that exploded after IE9, and it became Microsoft Edge. And as it turns out, Chromium is the kernel of Edge.
Yeah.
Chrome is like the principal browser to write code for. It's become such the standard that pretty much everything in Chrome is also supported by Safari or Firefox, to competing browsers. I just think that's phenomenal. Like Chrome is the kernel of, well, everything.
Web.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a long, long, long way we have come over the last 15 years. Like when you were cutting your teeth, Chrome wasn't a thing. I was a big, like, I was kind of playing around with Firefox because it had like extensions. And IE was just the standard, right? And now we're
there's Navigator too.
Oh,
Netscape Navigator was on the scene. But it
right,
was
which had that combo browser as well as like portal, like entry point portal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a thing. Yeah, and for Google to just dominate yet another, like basically take over another element of the entire ecosystem in fairly rapidly. Like even people who are using Edge, you're right, are building it off this kernel, that Google sort of built. So I mean, it's interesting to sort of watch that change in technology. I mean, obviously from my standpoint, functionally though, I think to what you were talking about, functionally it makes it a lot easier. Like for us, like, do you remember having to like constantly switch and like things would actually just render totally differently because all of the different browsers were based
absolutely
on fundamental. Yeah, you just don't have that anymore. Whether we would or not without the Chrome issue.
The reason this has happened is there's fundamentally two operating systems in the mobile world, right? iOS and Android.
Yeah.
And any phone that is running Microsoft devices is running it on an Android platform. So the browser naturally is the Android browser. Androidium? Is that a new
substance? I don't know what to do with that.
Indeed. Okay.
Next.
More stuff from Google I/O. This was more of a commercial announcement. Google Ads announces travel product updates for vacation rentals, hotel bookings, extensions, and all that stuff is starting to roll out. How do you feel about this? You have a whole bunch of properties, a whole bunch of clients in the travel, tourism, and vacation market.
Yeah, no, I wish the way you had started that was actually like what was the my reality, which was you have a bunch of properties, and it's like, oh, I wish we could have just stopped there. That would be awesome. But no, you're right. we happen to have a lot of clients.
If there's anyone to ask, I mean, like you are an expert in Google and travel. Are they making life easier for you? Are they making life harder? Or is it sort of a six and a half dozen sort of thing?
It is right now. The way things stand for most, and my experiences are mostly in the vacation rental, sort of sector. Unless you're willing as of right now to onboard with third party, sort of feeds, they're making things a little harder. So if you're a smaller vacation rental company, for example, you're not willing to enlist
with some of the major third party aggregators of basically Google Hotel Ads sort of providers. They've made things harder, and that's not recent. But they are harder for you. So the more advanced and the bigger the push is, the more accentuated the gap between the big and the small is, right? Like, so now they're pushing harder on it, but if you're one of the smaller players, and by small, I mean, you have under 10,000 units, right? Like, I mean, we're still talking pretty, you can be pretty big and still fit under that gap. The segmentation is going to worsen. At the same time, and I'll keep everybody posted on this, it appears through some chats I actually have a good and knowledgeable and helpful Google rep. They're rare, but folks, you can find them in the wild. I happen to have one right now who's trying to help me navigate getting some of our again, smaller, quote unquote, under 10,000 clients through into the travel ecosystem from the hotel ads side, because hotel ads also includes free. And I think that if they don't allow for this soon, it's gonna really cripple the smaller businesses who don't wanna go through third party because they just want the free like they did with product ads. So I suspect we're gonna see this. I think we're gonna see a worse environment for smaller providers. I get why they wouldn't want individuals, like I have one.
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah, specifically when I read that vacation rentals, say you have like three or four chalets in a ski resort, that's now being bulked in with hotel ads. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of noise for the smaller guy to get lost in.
It really, really is. And I mean, as somebody who pays attention to that space, I'm starting to see the, we'll call them hotel ads because that's sort of the grouping, but it's vacation rental queries. I'm starting to see them a lot more replacing that would have been the map pack. Right now being replaced with hotel ads makes perfect sense. But if you're one of the smaller players, you can't get in there. Now, I get why Google would be very hesitant to go, I'm going to let you, Dave, with your one condo downtown into this. I mean, there's just so much room for abuse. I totally get it. It's like if I had one product, getting into shopping ads is going to be very, very difficult, right? Like if I just have like one SKU, one little product that I sell like out of my house, it'd be difficult to do and should be. But you know, I think, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, clients with 300-400, right? Like they're managing sort of like elite boutique-y kind of, you know, property sets and things like that. They have, and I think this would be one of the big differentiators. Do you have a place during business hours where your guests go physically to check in? That's how I would differentiate those two. If I was Google, I'd go, if you have a place that is staffed all the time, and that has support that will be there 24 hours a day as employees, not as a subcontract, then that could be the differentiator. But I think we're going to see some big, big, big changes. I have a feeling we'll be having a very different discussion, even as we head into the holiday season this year. I suspect we're going to have seen some fairly major shakeups, but I will keep everybody posted as I start to see it progress. Our client needs it by fall, and that's why we started this discussion now, and my rep is trying to help us through in a smaller case. If that happens, I'll let people know anything that I can about how that's done so that if you're running smaller vacation rental companies, you know, you can sort of benefit from this knowledge as well. And I will just keep my fingers crossed that you're not competing with any of our clients.
Well, I mean, in some of the small markets, especially with the rise of like, you know, Airbnb and such, neighbors are competing with neighbors, but the demand is there. So,
well, indeed, and we're all competing with Airbnb, right? Like when we talk about that space, VRBO, Airbnb, those are the real competitors. It's not really sort of the like smaller handful of companies. But anyway, it is a really, really interesting space. I think we're going to see a lot of volatility in it coming up, and not volatility in like search rankings, but volatility in how do they display them.
If you are in that space and you've hired a professional, like say maybe Dave, and Dave or your professional who, you know, might be Dave, has made a bunch of recommendations to you, statistically, there's a high likelihood you're only going to implement like, you know, 4 out of 10 of them. 40% of all recommended SEO actions get implemented, suggesting that 6 of 10 or 60% don't. This is from a survey of like 679 SEOs. I think it's about right, eh? What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And I think every SEO on the planet has this frustration of, and yet the site owner still comes back and goes, why am I not ranking? You said I'd be ranking by now. And it's like, yes, and I assumed that you would pay attention to what I said. In defense of that number, because I've seen a lot of cases, I have a couple clients, well, I have many great clients, but I have two that I think of with highly complicated things where things can't get done. We're probably sitting at the 40 or 50% because things are hard to do. It's not that they won't be done. It's that I've given them a recent batch of things and it's hard to do. So it will take time. I think sometimes it's a combination of difficulty level and ROI is always part of it. Like I'll always give here's my wish list. And then they'll ask me,
How do you prioritize your wish list? When you, like, I give recommendations to clients and I prioritize them based on what I think is going to get done and what will have the most impact, based on what I think their capacities are.
Yeah.
How do you prioritize?
There's one I'm working with them right now, actually, like just actively, like as of this morning, we're doing another sort of re-audit of their scenario. And what I like to do for their tech team, it's different with their content team, pretty much 100 for 100. If I tell them to do something on content, build this content, do this, they'll just, okay, sure. And they'll do it. But tech gets different. It's JavaScript site, very, very complicated. Things can or cannot be done. And what I like to do is I put everything in a spreadsheet because it's just easy to work with, but we'll have three columns that outline whether something should be done. And it's a scale out of 5 in all of them is, what is the potential SEO impact? What does Dave think is the difficulty level to implement, time commitment to implement? And then here's what their tech team tells me is the reality. And those last two columns are so Dave can learn what is and isn't hard in the back end of their system, right? Like, show me the difference in what these two things are. But generally, it'll be a case of some things get done because they're really, really low time commitment. They might be a low SEO impact, but the dev's just sitting there with 15 minutes to kill, right? Like, and so plows through them. But generally, it starts at a big impact, low time commitment, and then works down to big impact, bigger time commitment with a few of the sort of lesser known things. That's generally how I prioritize the tech stuff. Because I think it just generally helps, unless we're dealing with mission critical, in which case I just go, there is nothing but this one, right? Like, and I usually refer to that, it's probably because of my time in like machine learning now, as the priority zero. Like, this doesn't even get, like, this is like right at root. This is our mission critical stuff, and nothing else gets done until this gets solved, right? Like, your pre-rendering system has crashed. Nothing else matters. Like, don't work. I don't care if you got like a 15-minute task, spend 15 minutes learning about how to fix this, even if you can't do it right now, because nothing else matters until we get this problem solved. So we do have those, but usually those don't even make it onto a sheet. They just make it onto Dave every 5 minutes on like Slack or Teams going, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? Okay. So that I can send the crawlers through and verify the fix. So. How about you? I mean, we have a different sort of take it. Like, we do slightly different things in SEO. How do you approach that? Because I know you probably provide a lot more content. I you're probably like, I hate you for having a client where you're like, I just tell them to do content stuff and they build it for me. How do you?
Oh no, content's cheap. Content is easy to envision, and so clients can get right on that because they know what they have to do. Mm-hmm. In fact, if we didn't exist, they'd still be creating content. They just wouldn't be doing it with the frequency or accuracy that we'd like.
Right.
It really depends on the client. Right now, I'm working with an agency. Primarily, I'm working with an agency that has an incredible dev team. So the vast majority of stuff that I suggest gets implemented, but it really depends on the client's budget and what the client is interested in spending based on, you know, these clients are planning their spend out a quarter in advance. Mm-hmm. So, um, sometimes SEO is an afterthought, it's more of an instant thought. So again, so you prioritize your recommendations based on what the, when they have time and energy from that particular client and what's going to make the most impact. And what you can't do and what you can't do yourself. Others like small business clients that come through, I expect them not to do most of the stuff I recommend. So there are some things that will have less and less conversations. You're not sure if the other person is like frozen or not. Then it's probably me who's frozen. But it's not me who's frozen. Yeah, it is.
I can hear you.
Oh, goodness gracious. I was going to say, on the off chance it's not me who's frozen, folks, this is how you tell. You just keep on talking until somebody says something.
You know what? Although we probably need to take a break. I'm just realizing that right now.
We probably do. Okay. Yeah. Friends, you are listening to a somewhat jittery Webcology on WMR.FM. It is the 27th of May, 2021. This is Jim Hedger from Joey's Media, Dave Davies from Peace on Internet Marketing. Stick around. We got more coming up after these messages.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Webcology takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WMR.FM. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Obvious Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And Google has long said that if you buy links, you're, right? Google's also said that if you are buying links, if you do an action that, you know, causes somebody to give you a link and you give them some form of remuneration, that's also a Google sin.
a really clever way that lawyers had gotten links from law schools, good, you know, rich scholarship EDU links, was to create scholarships. $2,000 or so, $3,000, and you get yourself a extremely juicy link. And in the world of lawyers, $2,000 or $3,000 for a little bit of advertising is really nothing at all. So why mention it? Because for the very first time in his career, one of the industry's greatest and most innovative link builders, Jim Boykin, got a notice from Google with an example of a scholar link, a scholarship link, as a bad link. So Google may or may not actually ignore these kinds of links if they think they're dodgy. But for the first time, a law office got called on basically buying the link back from the school in recognition of the scholarship they gave. That's a pretty cool trick, though, eh?
I have encountered that trick. I've never done it, but I have seen it done in backlink profiles, the old scholarship, sort of route of going. I would be interested to know, because and rightfully the URL, I couldn't find it, like as a provided, Jim didn't go, here it is. What I would be really interested to see, though, is it covered on that page? Because I think if they're just making a call and going, like, and by they, I mean Google, just making a call and going, scholarships mean they're unnatural links. Well, no, that's a slippery slope. You can't make that call. So if there's something on that page saying, hey, create a scholarship and we'll give you like a link, back for it, that I would get. But I think it might be a problematic area unless you saw like a vastly disproportionate number, right? Like, I mean, I wouldn't blame them if like the Google guy was like, okay, like I can see what you're doing here. You've got nothing but these kinds of links, right? Like, which would be an unnatural backlink profile. It didn't seem to be the case, but or that it's part of a very unnatural profile. But if what this is doing is stopping otherwise legitimate scholarship creations out of fear, I think we could be in a bad spot. So I don't know how I feel about this one, just based on, I don't know the landing page that this link was on and whether that educational organization was going, hey, create a scholarship and we'll give you a link, right? In which case, yes, 100%, that should be part of the action. If it was a disproportionate, like a brutal backlink profile and that was just part of it, that I would totally get as well. But if this company is just, and I assume that actually might be the case, because otherwise, why would you have a manual? Why would you even cross their radar? But if there aren't these telltale signs, then I have a problem with it, right? Like,
I read the article too, and I got the impression, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking, yeah, well, consider the source here, Jim. But I read the article and I got the impression that, it was a recognition thing. Law office gives law school a sum of money to give to particularly promising young law student. Law school recognizes law office by giving them a link, in the thank you note on their acknowledgments page.
Yeah.
That seems pretty innocuous.
Right? Well, and that's
don't
where
forget
it sort
Jim
of
Boykin who came up with this and wrote the article about it. So,
and he knows his stuff. Right? I'm sure Jim has a good idea because he's probably dealt with this many times. I'm sure he has a pretty good idea of what a bad backlink looks like. Not because he builds them. I know he's a good SEO and good link builder, but because I have a feeling this isn't his first time to this rodeo as far as like having to clean up profiles.
No doubt. No doubt at all. Okay. Shifting gears a bit. Search Engine Journal published a pretty expansive and pretty cool look at Core Web Vitals. Which is funny because you can actually boil them down to 3 to 6 metrics, 2 of which are critically important, 3 of which are very important. We've been talking a lot about Core Web Metrics. Like the whole industry has been talking about Core Web Metrics for the last couple of 3, 4, 5 weeks straight. Are they, I'd ask the question in a way that hasn't been asked before, because they're clearly going to be very impactful. But what's your feeling here? Is this hype for the sake of hype, or is there a real push to vastly improve the quality of user experience based on the whims of Google?
You know, I tend in the short term. So I have my short term answer and long term answer. My short term answer actually coincides. Ryan Jones had mentioned it on Twitter a while back. Like, just basically, we're all like really focusing a lot on this thing and kind of implying like, and what if we were focusing on everything else that still exists and has been like weighted heavily for a long, long time, right? Like, you called it like entering into this sort of segment and part of the discussion. This is all we've kind of been talking about. And I think he was like, I'm putting this into his mouth, but it certainly is the way I'm thinking about it. We may be over hyping it. And that's not to say it's not important. It is important, but we may be putting a disproportionate importance on it. And I liken this, if I'm going to guess, and I mean, we're going to find out in like 2 to 3 weeks if Dave's right. But I liken this to the sort of mobile first sort of rollout. And I'm sure you remember when that happened. Everybody sort of went, it just happened. And everybody sort of like looked at their rankings and went, what just happened? Right? Like nothing really happened. But if you tried to pull off like a desktop only site now, it just wouldn't. We can talk about that in just a little bit.
We're going to have to.
But it wouldn't work, right? So you do hit a spot where it will cascade forward. I suspect we're going to see a slower integration in. And by slower, I mean, they're saying August. I think, you know, yeah, they'll have like peppered things into their systems by then. You know, and that's all well and good, but I think we're going to be seeing the repercussions of this over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, that sounds more likely.
It's growth, little, you know, page experience, icons, things like that to sort of like prod us all in there, just like they did with the HTTPS and like letting Chrome sort of tell you that this site is secure. I think we're going to start getting some visual cues down the road of like, this site sucks. You probably don't want to go there. And I think that's when it'll really happen. But I think if you ask me in like on July 1st, am I going to see radically different results? Not unless there's a mistake, right? Like unless something goes wrong in the way they did it. I don't think that's what they want to do. They basically all but said that. They're talking about rolling it out through to August. I think that's functionally, they're manually going to be testing this out through till then, you know, doing, you know, adding their secret 11 herbs and spices to it. And then after that, I suspect what they're sort of going to be doing is rolling that into their systems and going, okay, just add this in as one more thing that gets decided by a machine, how weighted it should be. So I do think we'll see a pickup in importance, but I think out of the gate, not much. So I'm not saying don't pay attention. You might as well pay really close attention, get this thing done, put it on the back burner and get on to other things while we're all talking about it, right? Like just get it done now. Cause it needs to be done. Cause it will be important, but
well,
yeah.
I noted it again this week for two reasons. One, because I did want to promote this this piece that was in Search Engine Journal. I think it's if anyone has questions about what Core Web Vitals are going to be, how they're going to impact your website, and what you can do to fix stuff, searchengine.com/core-web/vitals. Check it out and get the information there. The other reason I'm mentioning it is as we'd understood things, Core Web Vitals was going to be measured against the how the page reacted in mobile environment. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Google made an announcement last week that extends Core Web Vitals measurements to desktop versions of websites as well, measured by Chrome as it perceives things in a desktop environment. It was a quiet announcement made last week that sort of was said and then just sort of vanished. And it was just sort of like, did I hear that right? And I'm 99% sure I did hear it right. So I went back to check out the article. And in fact, I did read it right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of neat. I think Google must have noticed the B2B world exists.
Yeah. Surprise. I'm obviously, you know, yes, it should. I get why they can't have two indexes like they did for a little bit. I'm sure, you know, flashing back, we all remember, but, you know, I get why they can't, but to treat something like this as fundamentally different, right, makes perfect sense. Because if you look, you've got two different scores and they can be dramatically different based on your build and what you're showing in different environments, like the technology between your mobile and desktop may be different, all that sort of stuff. So to treat them differently, I think makes perfect sense. Your user experience is going to be different on both of them. So, I think it makes a lot of sense, but you're right. It's interesting to see them do that because they don't really tend to. They tend to just go, it's mobile, assuming that if you just do it for mobile, that desktop will naturally follow. Most of the time it does, but it not always.
Now, being good webmasters, you want to make the optimal product for both environments. It's just like we were talking earlier when there was like a half dozen or so browsers you had to design for. Well, you know, still designed well for the mobile and the desktop environment. Keep in mind, largest contentful paint, LCP. You want to be about 2.5 seconds. First input delay, that's how long it takes for a page to become, you know, functionally interactive. Somewhere within 100 milliseconds. Cumulative layout shift. This is one that drives when a page sort of like starts moving around on it. You're working on a form or something, and then suddenly there's only text on your screen. Mm-hmm. Or you're reading a paragraph, and suddenly you're three paragraphs off because the page shifted. Mm-hmm. Google has a somewhat complex measurement based on how much distance and how frequently the page shifts. An ideal score based on their calculations would be equal to 0.1 or less. But again, you got to check out developers.google support docs to see how they make those calculations. Those are the three things you really need to keep in mind with Core Web Vitals. And you also need to keep in mind that you're being measured in two different environments, not just one now.
It's interesting because you mentioned like cumulative layout shift. Fundamentally, it would be different on desktop than mobile, just fundamentally, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, listed as a good example of why they might view one completely different. And that's a case where you're actually more likely to have a decent time on mobile because you're only dealing with a fairly limited width, right? That's kind of the same, and it's going to be difficult to get like images all of a sudden, mm-hmm, firing in and moving stuff around. You know, whereas on desktop, from my experience anyway, can be a lot more impacted by incorrect, you know, loading your CSS at the bottom or something, right? And then all of a sudden it's getting red after the page is loading and perhaps bouncing all over the place. Anyway.
Images tend to be the reason in both environments, but in mobile, it's any object can just set off this cascade that's going to cause a jump that's going to happen. It's as each object loads in order. Well, on desktop, things tend to come in much more rapidly.
Yeah.
Unfixed. You know, on desktop, what it is that people use these massive, hurricane big images and then size them downwards. Right. That's often what causes the jumps. Okay, moving on. Was there a big algorithm update that affected you badly over the last week?
Holy crap! Yes. I don't think I could have said that more emphatically. It was. You know, normally we come out, I'm like, yeah, everything kind of held. Nope, nope, it didn't. It was all over the place. I had sites going in both directions. Right? Like, I'm not going to pretend like it was all green arrows up, right? Like, no, it wasn't. They just like fractured all over the place. And it was good to know that I was not alone.
No, you were not alone. People across the industry reported chaos. That tends to note the beginning of something, not the end of something. So things are going to settle down.
Well, something that may be interesting.
I was going to ask, did you find any patterns, any similarities?
Not really. And the similarities that I did find don't make sense, which is why, and that's when I just head into the do nothing approach to things. For example, I've got a client with three websites. They're in same sector, but they serve completely different functions. It's one of those times where I'm like, yes, you should have multiple sites. 99 times out of 100, I would say absolutely not. Two of them, one of them just rocketed up. One of them went up nicely, like a 4% gain. And then the other one took like a 5% hit, right? So we have three, same sector, same core link sort of strategy. Like they're different things because most of their links just happen from people. But if you look at their link profiles, you'd be like, yes, you're all in the same sector and it's the same kinds of sites and same weighting of sites and this and that that's linking in. And it's a fairly uncompetitive sector. Well, I shouldn't say uncompetitive. It's reasonably competitive, except they dominate it. Like, so it's uncompetitive from my SEO standpoint because they just dominate their sector. And yet we're seeing things going in both directions. The most interesting part is the one differentiator in that case, and I'm actually looking at a variety of clients right now, and it is more atypical, is the losses tended to be in the areas where we were focused on growing the best content. Like, it's like we were being punished for researching what people wanted related to that sector and producing it. So that's what just doesn't, like, there's clearly something that I'm missing here. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going, Google's punishing good content. No, they're not. That's not how any of this works.
In previous days, somebody would have called that over optimization penalty.
Right. although oddly, we're not even optimizing their pages. Their pages are just performing well, like their core pages. It's just, we're going, oh, okay, here's the legal questions you might have in this sector. We'll build content on that, right? Here's some interesting information on the towns in that sector or whatnot. So where we're trying
stuff
to grow
that, you
the
know
best
people
content
are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And that where we had covered previously.
I got a question. Yeah. A quick question for you. Where are you getting your content ideas from? What's informing you about the stuff that you should be writing about?
I like to pull mine from a variety of different sources. One of my favorite, the unsung hero, in my opinion, I think not enough people go to it. There's obviously, you go to your keyword tools. I use, you know, SEM Rush often enough because you can like sort of segment out and go, just show me the questions and things like that. One of my favorites is just going to the SERP and going, what formats, what are people also asking, right? Like, what are the other pages that rank talking mm-hmm. about? You know, just basically going right to the core and going, when Google has to take a shotgun approach and go, I can show 10 things, but I can show a few different formats of things. What are they doing with that? Because that's how they're trying to fulfill the most user intents that they can. So if I can go in there and look and go, ah, I see what they're trying to do. I just need to do that, but better. Because Google has to do it universally for everything. So it's like competing with Amazon. It's like, you actually can compete with Amazon because they have one set of, like, they have to apply global rules, right? You can sort of like sniper your way through there and compete with them. Similarly with Google, you can go, okay, I can pull from that. What formats, what other questions, what are they showing in their knowledge graph? What are, you know, all of these sorts of things, and go, okay, take what makes sense for me, put that in there, create some new formats, and make sure that the structure works, and then do it just slightly better right? than what they can do, you know, use a few different sources. So that's one of the sort of my two starting points. Individual niches have different things. You know, at the same time, I work in, you know, machine learning, as you know, and that's kind of useless because by mm-hmm. the time something is relevant as a technology to show up on like search queries, we've already lost our opportunity in that query. So there you would look, you know, more to like Twitter or Reddit. So if you're in a high change sector, you know, you would have your own sources, to sort of follow, but.
Yeah, well, like you, I'm finding Google's becoming a remarkable font of like keyword research. I'm so glad I'm not using the damn like keyword selector tool or the AdWords tools anymore. Like almost never. You can go to Search Console, check out queries that are driving people to traffic, driving traffic to the page, especially if you check out by the queries that by number of impressions they create. This is stuff that Google is finding on your page and matching up with stuff people are entering, you know, often in the form of questions, but more often than not in the form of keywords or keyword phrases. Blue widgets here. Ones that are driving tons and tons of impressions, you can go to Google, just start typing them into the search box and see what Google's going to suggest to you. Then you can use a whole bunch of tools from Google Trends to SEMrush or Majestic or whatever to check out how other things are scoring, but or other sites are scoring against those keywords. But like, Google's just become this incredible font besides the traditional tools they had. The story I want to touch, but we really should take a break because we're gone way over time.
Yep.
Okay, we got to take a break. We got to take a break here on Webcology on WMR. So on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Voice Media. You're listening to Webcology on the 27th of May, 2021. Stick around. We got a little bit more after these messages.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Webcology takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WMR.FM. It is the 27th of May, 2021. It's mind-blowing. And, you know what? I think that a good intro to this one is what the good Google giveth, the good Google also taketh away again. This time it's around featured snippets. Google's showing some more information in featured snippets, but it's showing you as a webmaster less information about featured snippets in Google Search Console. First, the Google stuff. Have you seen also covered on this page in featured snippets yet, Dave? Have you seen that like live in the wild?
I have not, but I know what you're talking about, but I haven't had a chance to put my eyes on it.
I haven't seen it yet either, but I think this shows that the AI it was the one that was before BERT, the one that was able to differentiate individual topics on the page and break it down into specific and unique groupings shows that it's working. Google is now featuring a also covered on this page feature in their featured snippets that show links to parts of your content that are similar to but different than the question that's being answered in the featured snippet. A pretty cool trick of differentiation.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I say that as somebody who's, you know, I like to think I search pretty well. I've been doing it for a while, right? Like, and I search like an SEO as you, but there are often times where I catch myself doing a query and going, right, I didn't quite word that right. Or that's not actually quite what I'm looking for, right? Like where I, not that I've made a mistake, but Google can interpret what I mean based on what I've told them. And so I really like this because it gives me the ability to, A, jump to something that might be the subset of what I'm actually looking for, or to just glance at what a page is talking about and give me an opportunity to decide whether to go there, right? Like, and in these featured snippets, I think it's great to not just go, okay, here's the source of just this snippet, because what's going to entice me to click through? Like, I think this is, as a site owner, I like this, because nothing's really there to entice me. But if you go, and on top of this piece of information that we've already given you for free, you know, you don't need to like save you that, you know, 3 second click, hopefully less if you've been paying attention to your core web vitals, you know, here's some additional information that you would get if you actually go and visit this publisher. So, so I do like it as a person who, you know, gets featured snippets, right? And with clients that get them. But I also like it just as a user, which means I think it's here to stay and it's a big win. Hopefully we don't see too much abuse of it, because I can also see ways of like messing with it, but.
Absolutely. Getting a, this page also covers in featured snippet is going to be a goal.
Yeah.
That will definitely drive more people, attract more people to your pages. I always figure if there are more links to click on, there's more chances the user will click on one of them. I didn't stupid law of averages. And more importantly, though, and I think it was RankBrain. Thank you for noting that in the chat. I think being able to pick out unique topic points in a much larger corpus or bulk of information, I think I just think that's remarkably cool. And being able to see that there's four different topics being addressed on this page, and this page can now legitimately rank for multiple types of questions being asked. It's remarkably cool.
It is. Well, and we've talked like on our show about passage indexing, right? And it's like, okay, and if they're understanding passages better, then that helps their ability to go, okay, and these would be the clusters of additional information people might like. And I also wonder how much are they drawing that from additional featured snippets, right? Like this page talks about these things each get their own featured snippets, potentially. You know, if the page is strong enough to support that and the content is well-structured, okay, and people are clicking on that and searching for it as well. So, okay, this page has more related contextual pieces to a top-loaded you know, sort of top-of-funnel query. Anyway, I find all of this stuff very exciting because it's really giving us insight into how Google is piecing together their understanding of the web, aside from the fact that we can also use it to get more traffic, which obviously is our job.
Now, again, what the good Google gives you, good Google will also take away from you. And in this case, it's taking away a measure of rich results inside of search appearance filters. So if you get a oh my goodness, end of show, and I drew a massive brain blank as my internet goes up and down. Google says it's already reporting this data to you in different ways. However, you got rich results, product results, and a number of other... Hey, Brasco.
So you're referring to like, you can have your whole array of you know, quiz, you can have rich, you can have, well, rich, basically the story of course being rich results are going away, but it's because they're being included in other areas where basically they're going, we're going to show you your traffic by source without showing you the top here's all your traffic, and then here's your traffic broken down by source. I'm putting it in sort of like an analytics kind of way. But if I visited my traffic by source page in analytics, what this rich results is akin to is having the top going, here's actually a specific listing of all, and then we're going to break it down. They're basically removing that here's your all and going, you're looking at your individual, you know, appearances. So just look for the one you want, and there it is, rather than us confusing things by going, here's the top number, which I could see a lot of people, you know, potentially confusing, and causing some, you know, causing them some confusion and going, does this add or does this, you know, is one included in another, you know, those sorts of things. So I actually like this move. I'm not one to generally like when they take something away, but I think this one could cause as much confusion or probably more than its removal will solve. And they are doing a good job at actually just starting to break it out into each type and showing you that, which I find is much more useful data.
Okay, on that, we have to close it off. My internet connection is going up and down, and I'm like hearing things coming in and out and in and out. Luckily, we're towards the end of a show. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedge from Digital Always Media. You have been listening to Webcology on WMR.fm on the 27th of May, 2021. Friends, stay safe, rank well. We are almost at the end of the COVID crisis, so go out there and get vaccinated and let's get our society back next week. Stay well, and again, we'll talk to you next week.
Opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.